Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who is present, who gives life, who calls into existence the things that do not exist.
Amen.
Lord, if you were to keep watch over sins, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, and so we confess. We take a moment for silent reflection. We pray together, gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned away from you, knowing and unknowingly. We have wandered from your resurrection life. We have strayed from your love for all people. Turn us back to you, O God. Give us new hearts and right spirits, that we may find what is pleasing to you and dwell in your house forever. Amen. Sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ, receive the good news. God turns to you in love. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, says our God. All your sin is forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the free and abounding gift of God's grace for you.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us from all sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. We now move into the reading of God's Word.
Okay, the first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out of the Spirit of the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews upon them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Word of God, word of life. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared.
I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. To set the minds on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. It cannot, indeed. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Now, Lazarus of Bethany, the brother of Mary and Martha, was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, saying,
Lord, he that you love is ill.
But when Jesus heard it, he said,
This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it's for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Now Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, but after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then he and his disciples had this conversation.
Let us go to Judea again.
Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him.
Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right.
Lazarus is dead, you knuckleheads. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him.
Come on, knuckleheads. Let us also go, that we may die with him.
Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha and Jesus had this conversation.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.
Your brother will rise again.
I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately,
The teacher is here and is calling for you.
And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him, knelt at his feet, and said to him,
Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would have not died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said,
Where have you laid him?
Lord, come and see.
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Listen to what happened next.
Take away the stone.
Lord, already there's a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days.
Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said,
Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe you sent me. Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them,
"Unbind him and let him go."
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I first want to thank the Benson family, Chad and Quincy, Maddie, Carter, and Gracie for proclaiming the gospel today. It's great to have their voices telling us this story and leading us into this good news. I'm not ready for this. It's Thursday evening and I need to get this sermon preached and recorded so that Pastor Zach has time to edit it into the worship and get everything ready for you on Sunday morning. I am not ready for this. I have so appreciated Pastor Zach's gifts and talents in the arena of recording and just technology in general. He's just been so awesome over the last couple weeks, and our whole staff has just been great in helping us get our website up to date. And so I want to say thank you to our staff, but a special thank you to Pastor Zach in relationship to worship and getting this prepared for you. But again, I'm not ready. I am not ready. And typically, I'm not ready to preach until 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. So ready or not, here we come. In 1993, late September, our third child was born. Our second daughter. She was born late September, and I remember calling my grandma, who lived right across the road, but she was on a bus trip to Mackinac Island when our daughter was born. And I remember calling her in the evening one night and saying, "Hey, Graham, you have a new great granddaughter." And she was thrilled. I think she was glad to hear from me, and she was always glad to be blessed with another great-grandchild. Sometime between her return home from that trip and November 21st of that same year, I remember talking with my grandmother. Again, I called her Graham Hop. She lived right across the road. I was very close to her, and I remember having a conversation with her one day in which she said to me these words, "I've come to realize that there are worse things in life than death." I have to say, I wasn't ready for that. I was young. Again, my third child was just born. I couldn't imagine anything worse than death. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't envision it. And so I wasn't ready for it. But I listened. I listened to her wisdom. She said those words in the context of a deeper conversation. A young person, a man in his 50s, in our community had died. And my grandma had lost her husband, my grandpa, who I never knew, at age 45. He left her with four children. My dad was the oldest at 14 years old, as he died of a sudden heart attack. And so she said those words, the full statement being, "When that happened," she said, "I thought that was the worst thing that could happen to anyone. But now," she said, "I've come to realize that there are some things in life that are worse than death." Again, I wasn't ready for that wisdom. But on November 21st of that same year, 1993, my grandmother was killed in a car accident. And I have to say, I wasn't ready for that. I was not ready for that. I was very close to her, and it was a very painful death for me. But I have to say that it was in that time that her wisdom became a real blessing to me. Because I knew that she had a vision that was bigger than mine. She had a vision that could could somehow hold like a chalice, hold the pain of life and death, and realize that even as hard as that is sometimes, that God knows what God is doing in the midst of it all. And she knew that death was not going to win. And she had come to a place where she could say that there are worse things in life than death. And those words became a great comfort to me as I struggled with the sorrow of her death. Now, most of us are in the place where we find Mary and Martha in our text for today. We're not ready for that. We find them at near the tomb. We find them surrounded by a community of relatives and friends weeping for their brother Lazarus who had died. And we see that they're struggling. They must be wondering, you know, where was our friend Jesus, who we know could have prevented this from happening? They'd seen it before. They had seen him do wonderful miracles and signs, and now in their time of need, he was slow in coming. In their time of need, he was delayed. And so when he arrives, they both women separately say to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They weren't ready for that. They weren't ready for that any more than we are ever ready for that. Even when we lose those who are elderly and suffering, we aren't ready for that. And honestly, that is an okay place to be. It's an okay place for you and I to be, because we see Jesus' reaction to his friend Lazarus' death, and to Mary and Martha, and to the community who had gathered around them. Jesus really wasn't ready either. He wept. And he grunts, in a sense. The Greek word in the scripture is that he grunts, or he snorts from the depth of his belly, almost this grunt of anger against the power and the sting of death. Jesus doesn't seem as though he's ready to face it either. And so it's okay for you and for me as we struggle along the road of sorrow and grief when those we love die. And the reality was, Jesus could do something about it. And most of the time, you and I can't. And so we meet Mary and Martha in this place. We meet friends and neighbors in this place. We, like the community of Mary and Martha, are not ready for death. In Martha's conversation with Jesus, she does get a glimpse of the promise and of the hope that Jesus offers, the hope and the promise that death will not win. Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And she says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." That's what we find ourselves saying. "I know that he will rise again on the last day." Jesus says, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who trust in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she says, "Yes, Lord." She confesses, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. But I'm still not ready for it. I'm not ready for Lazarus's death." And when they move towards the tomb, and Jesus says, "Roll away the stone," she says, "Don't go there, Lord. Don't open that tomb. He's been there 4 days already." And while she wasn't ready for Lazarus' death, she certainly wasn't ready for his resurrection. Now, in verse 4, Jesus says about the illness, he says, "This illness does not lead to death, rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, last week in the healing of the blind man story, we talked about this, the translations that make it sound like like God gave the blindness to the man so that God could be glorified through it, that cause and effect. This translation too sounds like that Lazarus's death was caused so that God would be glorified to it. But a better translation is, this infirmity is not present for death's advantage, but rather it is for God's glory, and so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. And I love that translation. This infirmity is not present for death's advantage. Jesus is telling Mary and Martha and those who have gathered that death will not win, that death will not have the last word. And so whether we're ready for it or not, we can stand on those promises. We can stand on the promise that there is no place, there is no experience, there is no condition under which we find ourselves that God cannot reach us. It was true for Israelites in the reading from Ezekiel, when God took the prophet to the wilderness and said, "Can these dry bones live?" And the prophet said, "Lord, you know." And we hear this story of these dry bones being brought together, joint to joint, and sinews and muscles and cartilage being put back together, and flesh and breath being brought into these bones. These bones are a symbol of the people of Israel who were living, but they were dead. They were living in a distant place, not in a place in their homeland where they wanted to be. So while they were alive, while they had breath, they were living as if they were dead. And this promise is true for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, as Mary and Martha and the community weep at Lazarus' time of death. Death will not win. Psalm 139, wrestles with the question, where can I flee from God's presence? If I go to the farthest winds of the sea, if I go to the farthest mountains, if I go to the depths of Sheol, even there your hand you will find me, and your hand will hold me fast, the Word of God says. There is no place that you and I can ever go that is beyond God's reach. And that is the promise that we see being unearthed in this text for today. A promise that even though death comes, life will abide. Even though death comes, it will not have the last word. Death will not win. There is no place, no situation into which God cannot reach in order to bring life. It was faith in that proclamation, it was trust in that truth that enabled Graham Hopp to say, "I've come to realize there are worse things in life than death." And it seems to me that the Old Testament reading from Ezekiel we discover what some of those things are. Again, Israel was living in exile, and while they had breath, they were living as a dead people. It seems to me that we are facing in this moment of history a challenge and a crisis similar to what they were facing while they were living as exiles in a foreign land. While we're not in a foreign land, we are in a foreign situation. We're being forced to distance ourselves, to isolate ourselves, to separate ourselves from one another. And I think at the same time, we're being forced to wrestle with the question, we're being pushed to wrestle with the question, is there anything worse than death? This virus is breathing down our neck, and it's hurting, without a doubt hurting, if not destroying our economy. It's unsettling the foundations on which many of us build our lives. And we're being pushed just as Pastor Zach is pushing me to get this sermon done, we're being pushed to wrestle with these difficult questions. And we're being pushed to wonder, will we surrender to death? Will we allow this virus to imprison us in our own homes and in our own fear? Or will we allow the Lord and the promise that there is nothing beyond God's reach, will we allow that promise and that truth to enliven us even when we are separate and distant and isolated? It seems to me that one of the worst things in life than death is being dead while we still have breath in our lungs, or being alive but locked in fear and self-protectionism. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do anything foolish, like put yourself or others in harm's way. I've said from the beginning that when we deal with this virus, we have to take both of these things into account: good stewardship for ourselves and our neighbors, and giving our life away, as Jesus gave his life away for us. And so there is much that we can do in this time to be alive, even when we're separate, even when we're away from each other. And I'm hearing this as I've started to call members of our congregation just to check in with them. And I'm starting with those who are in elderly categories first. And what I'm hearing is, I'm okay, Pastor. I'm receiving calls from friends, and I'm making calls to friends. You know, I'm reaching out. I'm praying for people. And I'm just so blessed every time I make a call as people share their struggles and their fears, but also their posture for ministry, even as they're confined to their own home. I can't help but think of the words of Jesus from Matthew 25. As you have done this to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, my siblings, you have done it to me. I can't help but think of Jesus' promise in Matthew chapters 6 and 7, when he admonishes us, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear or what you will wipe with. I think maybe I added that. Because people are hoarding toilet paper, and they're hoarding food, and they're hoarding all kinds of things, dog food and cat food, I understand. And we do those behaviors because out of fear and out of thoughtlessness for our neighbor who might need some of those supplies that we buy. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will give you everything else. A ministry right now is to buy with good sense, to buy what you need so that your neighbor here and your neighbor there will have the opportunity to buy what they need. See, God promises to take care of us in life and in death. We can trust that whatever we face, God will remain faithful. God will hold on to us. He will enable us. He will enable us to come out of the grave and to live life while we have it. To live life while we have it. So that when we get to the end of life, we won't say to ourselves, I wish I would have lived more fully. We can trust Jesus, and we can live fully today. Pick up the phone and call somebody. Say a prayer for those who are struggling. Find a way to serve through your church or through your neighborhood food bank, or in some capacity, find a way to make a connection with another person. This is life. This is life, staying connected and reminding these things in life that come up against us, whether it's a coronavirus or a cancer or anything else, that you will not win. You will not destroy my life while I have my breath. and you will not destroy my life, even when that breath is gone. Amen. Siblings, we will one day be together again, soon I hope, at the table of the Lord. And when we gather, we will again be filled and fed with Christ, with his true presence, through the bread and the wine. And until that day, we hunger, we grow more hungry for that meal day by day. Until that day, we have the opportunity and the blessing to remember the gift of holy baptism. I invite you, as you gather in your homes, whether you're an individual or whether you're a family, to quickly get a bowl of water and set that bowl in the midst of you as we remember and give thanks to God for these gifts and promises that we receive in holy baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gives us birth, our light, and our salvation. Let all God's people say, Amen. A reading from Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessing of peace. And a reading from 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Joined by Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. After each petition, I will invite you to respond with me. You are the fountain of resurrection. You are the fountain of life. Again, you are the fountain of resurrection. You are the fountain of life. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. You are the fire of rebirth. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for cloud and rain, for dew and snow. Your waters are below us, around us, above us. Our life is born in you. Please join me. You are the fountain of resurrection. You are the fountain of life. Praise to you for your saving waters. Noah and the animals survived the flood. Hagar discovers your well. The Israelites escape through the sea and they drink from your gushing rock. Naaman washes his leprosy away. The Samaritan woman will never be thirsty again. Please join me. You are the fountain of resurrection. You are the fountain of life. Praise to you for the water of baptism and for your word that saves us in this sacrament. Breathe your spirit into all who are gathered and into all of creation. Illumine our days, enliven our bones, dry our tears, wash away the sin within us, and drown the evil around us. You are the fountain of resurrection. You are the fountain of life. Fountain of resurrection, fountain of life, satisfy all our thirst with your living water, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, who gives us new birth by water and the Holy Spirit and forgives us all our sins, strengthen us, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may make the sign of the cross, dip your finger into that water and make the sign of the cross on the forehead of yourself or the forehead of someone who is around you.
Having heard the gospel proclaimed, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now the prayers of intercession for us in the congregation. At the end of each petition, I will close it with, "Hear us, O God," and if you as congregate members will close it off with, "Your mercy is great." Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and to all those who are in need. God of life, bind your faithful people into one body. Enliven the church with your Spirit and bless the work of those who work for its renewal. Accomplish your work of salvation in us and through us for the sake of the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, you love the world you have made and you grieve when creation suffers. Restore polluted lands and waterways, and heal areas of the world ravaged by storms and floods and wildfires, droughts, and natural disasters. Bring all things to new life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, show redemption to all who watch and wait with eager expectation, those longing for wars to cease, those waiting for immigration paperwork to finalize, those seeking election, and those in dire need of humanitarian relief. Come quickly with your hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, you weep with those who grieve. Unbind all who are held captive by anxiety, despair, and pain. Fill us with compassion and empathy for those who struggle, and keep us faithful in prayer. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of life, we give thanks for opportunities for this congregation to collaborate with our community in caring for the needs of our neighbors. Strengthen our ties with local congregations, agencies, and services. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Dear Lord, we ask special blessings upon all of us this day and the days to follow with the terrible pandemic that is going throughout the globe, not only here, but throughout all our peoples in the world, your peoples. And Lord, we ask special blessings on all the people that are suffering with the pandemic and with the flu influenza, the coronavirus. Bless those, sustain and strengthen them, Lord. And we ask a special blessing on those who are attending them, the doctors, the nurses, and all the professionals that are looking after their welfare. We ask a special blessing for those that are seeking the solution to the satisfying, the overcoming the endemic, Lord, finding solutions to end this terrible, terrible plague that we have. We ask, Lord, that you also bless all of the elected officials and all of the other people that are working throughout the land and throughout the world to solve this particular problem. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Mercy is great.
According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you. We pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Holy God, speaking, spoken, and inspiring, bless you, unbind you, and send you in love and in peace. Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.